This is Jo Van Cool with another programme for Animates from 2RPH, which is part of RPH Australia. So, welcome Marion Whalen from Healing Hooves. And I've been looking forward to meeting you to discover exactly what it is you do.
I've been looking forward to meeting you too.
What is it you do, actually?
I'm the manager and the vice president of a charity called Healing Hooves, Inc., and we're on the Gold Coast. And we run a horse rescue, but it's horses with a difference. They all have disabilities, so those horses with disabilities are paired with people with disabilities or emotional trauma in a therapeutic setting, just to sort of help along with their healing process.
Well, you're a first. We've never had an animal with a disability paired with a disabled human being as well. So this is really interesting. Who got the idea for this?
Well, it was kind of, I think, a bit accidental because it started off as a horse rescue with the intention of rehabilitating horses and rehoming them. As time sort of went along, the horses that we were ending up with or that we were assisting were either blind or had leg deformities or neurological conditions, so they couldn't be rehomed. And so people would end up coming down and wanting to visit the horses or assist with the horses. And we're finding it was a little bit more of a need for people with emotional disorders, I guess, mental health disorders, physical disabilities that were wanting to visit the property. So we kind of evolved from being a rehoming rescue to them being with us for life. We kind of evolved into an equine assisted therapy centre.
Well, sounds wonderful. So what would have happened to the horses if you hadn't taken them in, do you think?
Most of them, we've had horses that have been standing and tied above a 6-foot halt. So literally they would have been euthanised, sent to the slaughterhouse, you know, moved on for backyard breeding. So without us, they probably wouldn't be anywhere else. You know, they'd be in the ground.
Yeah, but they're presumably very happy with you and enjoy life.
They're unbelievable. I mean, I always feel myself light up when I'm talking about the horses because they're just the most incredible animals. We've got one fella that's completely blind and he knows intuitively where we are. All of his senses are heightened, so I can't sneak onto the property without him knowing that I'm there. And I've tried. Like, I've really tried sneaking on without him busting me, but he knows that I'm there just through sound and smell and my voice. So, yeah, they're pretty awesome.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Now, how is this funded?
All by donation. By the generosity of the community, we put on fundraisers, we do barbecue, sausage sizzles, it's all by donation. I even struggle. I mean, we have groups that come through for equine therapy, just a casual equine therapy, and it's all by donation on what they can afford.
Right. So I presume you're pretty jolly busy with all of that.
We get really busy. We're 7 days a week. We're volunteers. My husband and I manage the charity. We have a committee as well. We're there 7 days a week, often twice a day. We don't operate 7 days a week, but if we get a phone call and someone is in distress and they feel that it would benefit a loved one or a child or a family member, we open up and we meet them down there. So we spend an hour with them. So it does get busy, but it gets more emotionally draining too. So you have to kind of be prepared and block yourself off sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. And So presumably the horses are pretty self-sufficient in terms of food and water if they've got a water trough, aren't they?
Yeah, it costs us quite a bit to keep them fed. We only have 2 acres, so we have to provide them with a lot of feed, a lot of hay. Right. We don't sort of use a lot of fancy feeds. They're maintaining really, really well on hay alone and just the minimal pasture. But it gets quite costly, but we've got it down to an art form. So, they're very, very well-maintained horses.
Anyway, they're obviously very happy in their situation, given what the alternative would be. Now, do they require specific training when it's somebody coming with a disability?
The horses that we've got haven't had any specific training. It's all been intuition, and it blows me away. Like, we haven't done any special training in the way of having them near wheelchairs or seniors with their walkers and even walking around in hospitals. They haven't had any specific training for that. We just have to have 100% trust in them that the horses that we are using in the process are not going to spook if there's wind and a branch comes down or the child raising their arm suddenly. But we do a lot of work with the body language mainly of the horses. So we're able to tell whether they're going to push another horse out of the way ahead of time so that we can get a client in a position of being safe. But none of them are halted. None of them have ropes on. We don't force them to stay in the area that we're in. They choose to stay in the area. So all the work that they're doing is 100% by choice. And they have the opportunity to leave if they want to. They can go into another area of the paddock, but they choose to stay.
So they're much like company.
It's all the intuition. I've seen horses that have created a circle of, I don't know, security or a comfort circle around certain clients. And even the horses, you know, there was one that happened recently. It was one of the horses I don't often use. But she chose to step in. And I just had to trust that she knew what she was doing and what she was able to offer. And we ended up standing there for an hour with this horse and the client that was in emotional distress. And she was the one that stepped forward. And she's usually the one that doesn't come forward in many instances. So they're constantly amazing me with what they know. And I just trust that they know what they're doing.
Well, they just speak a different language, but they know far more than we've got any understanding of, I think.
Absolutely. They're empathic. I think they're probably more empathic than we are. And, you know, they have this ability to let go of emotion. So they don't really care what we did yesterday or what's happening tomorrow. All that matters is right now in the moment. So they're able to take a lot of the burden off of our visitors. And I've had a lot of burden taken from me as well from these horses. So I can sort of relate firsthand. But they do. They just take it off your shoulders and then they just release it. And there's no hard feelings and they don't judge. And quite often people will walk into our paddocks with the weight of the world on their shoulders. But when they're leaving, they are walking a lot taller and their head's a lot higher. And it's almost like rather than the world being on the shoulder, it's at their feet. It opens new worlds for them.
And how many horses have you got?
Got 10.
Wow.
We're at max. We've only got 2 acres, and thankfully we've got council approval to have that many horses, and we've been able to prove and show sustainability. So with the paddock being so pristine and well-fed horses. But yeah, we have 10, so I'm at my limit now. Unless something tragic happens, I can't take any more on. Until when we get a new paddock, a big paddock. That's fantasy world at this stage.
So it's approachable by road, presumably.
Yeah, we're located on a property called Country Paradise Parklands, and it's a property that's owned by the council. It was an old theme park. It had been closed down for many, many years. It was a recreational park called Paradise Country, and it's here on the Gold Coast, and it's right near Movie World and Dream World and all those kinds of places. So they did a lot of Australiana and your sheep shearing and your hay rides, and they had a restaurant and all that, and it was closed down for over 10 years. So the council purchased it, and over several years, a volunteer group have brought it back to being a usable space. So we're not the only charity on site. So we have a men's shed and a community garden and a Sheila's Shack, and Oz Harvest is based there as well. So it's become a community hub for not-for-profit. Yeah, so we're wide open, drive through the main road and enjoy these rounds. And
how often do people come? I mean, do people book in and come every day? Or
via appointment only, but we do have regular groups that are booked in for regular days. We've had one group that's been visiting us for the last 5 years every Friday. And that group has evolved. That's a group of 13 young adults with complex disabilities and their support workers. But then, you know, we might have a one-on-one on a Tuesday with a regular client. So it's mostly by booking. It depends on also, you know, volunteer availability. So if it's a large group, obviously I need a lot of volunteers, hands on deck, because it can become mayhem.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's good mayhem. But if it's one-on-one, we're just able to just go down and sort of sit and chat with one client at a time. But we also do psychotherapy, which involves a psychologist or a mental health worker and a client. So that's on alternating days as well. They're able to come and have a formal form of therapy rather than sitting in an office, I guess, that's quite sterile, and talking about your feelings. You're doing it in the paddock with the horses. So it's quite unique. It's definitely making miracles.
So there are no other comparable organisations anywhere in Australia, or is there any other?
There's no other Healing Hoos. We're the one and only. But I believe that there's all over Australia, people are doing equine therapy. There's a lot of people out there that have amazing horses that have done training in the equine psychotherapy side of things, and they're doing it privately from their homes. I'm not aware offhand of any charities that are specifically doing what we're doing, but I'm sure there probably will be a few about.
Yeah, there probably will be, because there are quite a lot now where situations are horses used for returning Defence Force members who have PTSD or something similar. Yep. And I think that's when horses can be really useful.
We've got a Vietnam veteran that's actually one of our volunteers. He's 68. His name's Pete. Pistol Pete, we call him. He came to us 3 years ago with absolutely such severe PTSD. He was a mess and he wasn't engaging in the world, and he'd been recommended to come to us by his psychologist. And he was just where he was going to fit in. We basically, we find that when he's got a certain area that he can call his own, he's in his element. He comes down twice a week now and just cleans up the paddocks of the manure. And as long as we keep those specifically for him, he's brilliant. But he's helping me with Seniors Week now. He helps with all of our events. He's a really good spokesperson.
You've given him a reason to get up in the day, haven't you?
He's unbelievable. He's just to see where he's come from. And last year, he was in such a good place that he started working again. He's now working with the as a mentor for the Brisbane Bullets. So the 68 years old.
Oh, that's
great. Because a man that was housebound and hiding on the way at Christmas and really struggling.
Yes, it's amazing the effect it can have working with an animal. I mean, a horse specifically in your case, but I mean, people work with dogs, with all sorts of things. Can you describe a typical situation for a horse? I mean, what actually happens? The person walks up to them, strokes them, or do they just stand and look at each other, or what actually happens?
So what'll end up happening is we do two different forms of interaction. The casual interaction would be just the horses are in the general area and they're able to just walk up and give them a brush and just lean on them and rub them. And a lot of our disabled clients will put their faces into the horse's neck and a sensory thing.
Yeah.
But the formal interaction, what will happen is the horse will just be loose, or the herd of horses will be just completely loose in the paddock. And the client will be asked to catch one of the horses, as in put a halter on one of the horses. But quite often they don't know how to do that. But you've got a child that's afraid of asking for help or has issues with self-esteem. You're standing back and you're watching them trying to catch this horse without any instruction. But in reality, what you're wanting is for them to ask for help. Maybe they're back until they ask for help. And quite often they'll want to catch the biggest horse, or they want to catch the smallest horse because they think that's the easiest. And the horse will always mirror the energy of the client. Mostly it's a child. They'll mirror the energy. So you've got a child that's quite fearful, then that horse is going to stand still and it's going to offer comfort, but they still won't know how to put the halter on. It'll be upside down and backwards, and they'll persevere, and quite often they'll give up and they'll drop it on the ground and they'll walk away and say, this horse doesn't like me. The horse will turn its back on it and walk away. And you can kind of say to them, look, is it that the horse doesn't want you to be near it, or is it that the horse wants you to try a little bit harder or to not give up? And when they change their mindset that, oh, hang on a minute, I've got a little bit of ego, or I'm a little bit frightened, or I'm unsure, what do I need to do? And they either ask, can I please have some help putting the halter on the horse that I'd like, or they go back and ask the horse to help them. So that's when the horse will turn around and he'll stick his head down and put his head into the halter, and the rest is history, basically, once they've got hold of that horse. But it's the initial contact that they just don't know a lot of the time, these kids, how to ask for help, because they fear rejection. You know, and horses are not going to reject them.
I guess, too, it's a big thing about actually giving oneself over to a horse and saying, I need help. Can you help me?
And they've been through, so some of these kids are coming through domestic violence situations or things like that. And so they're always afraid of the next step. They're always afraid of what might come. And the horses are just there. They don't have any of those feelings of guilt or fear or any of that kind of stuff when they're in this situation. And it kills me because I sit there and I want to help them. You watch these kids trying to put this halter on a horse and it's twisted and upside down and backwards, and then they're walking away and they're feeling rejection, but we're not able to step in until we're asked, please, can I have some help?
Or, do they know that? Do you tell them, I want you to do this on your own? Or how?
Yeah, they're told to go and just go and catch whichever horse they'd like or to go and halter a horse, but they're not actually... Part of the process with the psychotherapy is that you don't instruct. You don't give them any instruction. You wait for their instruction. And right. I'm not a mental health worker. I mean, my job is with the horses. When I am watching the mental health workers and all that, I don't know how they can stand back. It really, really upsets me. And I want to go in and help these kids, but then that's defeating the purpose of them learning to trust and learning to trust that they can do it and they have the ability to do it. Well, they just need to ask for help.
And
they get the help.
Have you noticed a sort of follow through that they do increasingly well?
Yeah. I can give a good example, actually. And it's to do with a horse that came through with trauma as well. And we rescued a horse from the rodeo. And we didn't know he was from the rodeo until I traced his brand. But this horse was absolutely terrified. He was tortured. I won't go into it because this form of torture was so severe. But we had this horse named Kaysan for 4 years, and for the 4 years we were unable to touch him. We couldn't get close to him. He would have flashbacks of terror. It got to the point where we could hand feed him and we could be in his space, but we could never put our hands on him. And that's okay because I'd committed to keeping him for life. But anyway, we'd had this young lady come down and she was multiple self-harm. So her arms were very scarred from self-harm, and she came down and she was with the therapist, the psychologist and the equine specialist, and she had her arms crossed. She really wasn't that interested in the process or the horses, and she was with her mum, and a sign of respect from a horse is to have their head low. And out of nowhere, Kaysan actually stepped forward. And quite often when that happened, because of his level of fear and unpredictability, you didn't ever put your hand out to try and touch him because he would turn on his quarters and run. So anyway, he put his head low and he came towards this young lady and he sniffed her arms, and she had the bandages up her arms, and the therapist sort of said to her, you've got no idea how incredible this moment is, this, and explained the torture that he had actually endured and how incredible it was that he had come forward and sniffed her, and he put his head low and he walked away as gentle as he stepped in. From that moment, she put her arms down and she actually engaged in another 6 sessions. So your mental health plan will often go for 6 sessions. They're able to get it on Medicare and on this mental health plan. So she continued through with the therapy and she's doing beautifully.
Oh, great.
But because Kaysan, even though he was tortured, he was still able to relate to her torture. And he was the one that engaged. And we lost him last year and devastated us all. But yet I was still getting messages from people saying that Kaysan helped them. And I kind of went through a bit of a struggle because I was like, how did he help you? He was so frightened of people, and I had him in a back paddock where he couldn't be hurt by people. And yet just the simple energy that he gave off was that he understood.
Yes, it's amazing. He saw in her what he knew. He understood.
He made such an impact on so many people, yet they couldn't even put a hand on him. It's pretty amazing the way that it works. They're always amazing me. Like, I can't even really say that half the time things that happen in my paddock that I expect to happen, because it's different every time.
Yeah, wonderful. So, you must enjoy it so much too.
Yeah, I do. I light up. And I've come from a history of, anxiety and all of that kind of thing too, and trauma. So, it's helped me immensely. So for me to be able to open the gate to more people, it's huge for me.
Would you like to tell people a little bit about where you are and if they want to get in touch with you? Because while this is only going to be in the Sydney area at the moment, very shortly it will go to all the other states, presumably including Queensland. So everybody will know, tell everybody where you are and give a phone number or a web page or something.
Yeah, so we're actually located on the Gold Coast. In Queensland, a suburb called Narang. So the property that we're actually on is called Country Paradise Parkland. It's on Bow Desert Narang Road. We have a Facebook page, Healing Hooves Inc., and I update everything on the Facebook page. I'm on there pretty much daily updating our adventures and activities and putting photos of the horses and things like that up on there. So, yeah, that's the easiest way to contact me is through the Facebook page. We do have a website as well, which needs updating, but it's healinghoovesinc.org. So, yeah, it's easy enough to get hold of us.
Well, that's wonderful. And thank you so much for giving your time, because
my
I'm sure
pleasure.
So many people would be interested in this. And you never know, you might have started somebody else with the idea. You never know. Anyway.
That would be awesome.
Thank you so much
for
your time.
My pleasure.
Okay, bye now.
Take care.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that brings to an end Animates. I'm Jo Van Cool from 2RPH Sydney, a member of RPH Australia. And I've been ably assisted today by researcher Joseph Svansa and technical support from Katie Brooks. Until next time.